Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I think we're good to go. Hello, Seth?
Yeah, oh, I'm here. Yeah, are we?
Beautiful.
I didn't know.
No, I don't know. I was just making sure your mic levels were good. I was just trying to get you to talk.
Yeah, I'm here.
Beautiful. Did you have a good break?
I did, yeah.
Bubba
I just,
breaks?
I'm just dealing with the fallout of people that didn't do well, so.
I mean, isn't that part of the... By the way, this is Two Live Jew on and Seth. I mean, people, it's a gambling thing, right? So are people upset that they lose a gamble? Isn't that part of the fun? Is that sometimes you win and most of the time you lose?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that is. I mean, look, I don't have $70 to, you know, get into a break at all. I do, you know, $10, $15, anything less than that. But I hate to see people lose. I brought a bunch of my own cards to supplement people that might have not got their money's worth on the break. So, I mean.
But I don't understand what that means because isn't it a gamble?
Yes. It's a gamble, but I got ripped off a lot when I first started getting into cards and doing breaks and all that. And
And
I know the feeling of walking away feeling like
you've been gypped.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a racial slur, but we don't really have too many gypsy listeners.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to lose our gypsy fan base.
No. I think we're good in that scenario. So yeah. So I hate the feeling of walking away feeling like, you know, you got taken advantage of or you lost. So people that might, like I said, people that might not have hit a bunch of cards, then I give them some of my decent cards to hopefully make them feel like, hey, I didn't get, you know, as...
I get it. You're investing in the business because then they maybe invest and buy more cards in the future versus if they don't and then Bubba Break sucks and then it's all over.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I
get it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it's not for everybody. You might do it and go, fuck this, I'm done with it. But, you know, like I said, I want to just take care of everybody because I know the feeling of, you know, feeling like shit when you get done with those. So.
Do you gamble otherwise?
Like, no, just that.
Just this.
And I denied that it was gambling for a while.
Yeah, and but it is. And that's okay.
It is, but it's a form of gambling where you can, you know, I don't know.
Is that your favorite vice, you think?
Is weed a vice or is it a medicine? We'll throw it out of the equation for now. Yeah, it's my favorite thing.
Your favorite vice. I'm trying to think about my vices.
And yours is just working out and being healthy and shit.
No, I have vices. I'm trying to think.
What are you, back on the beignet bandwagon?
No,
or
no,
what?
No. In terms of like things that I do, not just bad habits, but things that I like engage in that aren't good for my health or whatnot. Maybe, I don't even think drinking, because it's very rare. Oh, I picked up a new one. Maybe this is
it.
Oh,
here we go, yeah.
I mean, a new one, let's just say in the last year and a half.
Is it unhealthy?
2 years, I don't know. It's taken some, I'll just call it sleep aids occasionally. It's a treat for me, and I try to view it that way. I try not to view it as something that I need to be dependent on or something that if I need to, in order to sleep. But every once in a while, like say last night, I just like to get an extra oomph. Been having trouble sleeping lately.
Join the club, man.
And I hate when I lose my sleep confidence, which is a term that I coined last year. I don't.
You never cease to amaze me on this podcast. Sometimes I'm like, man, there's nothing else that Anna can empty out right here.
Oh, we can always go deeper.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah, I lost my sleep confidence for, and again, I don't know if that's a thing like in the DSM or anything like that, but to me, it was real. I lost my sleep confidence probably for about 6 to 8 months, maybe more. It felt like almost almost a year, essentially, where because I'm so neurotic, and I feel like this is one of the few things that we have in common, which is Junis and neuroticism, because I feel like all the things I like, you couldn't care less, and I pretty much feel the same way about you. So I'm trying to find common ground here. But if I have a bad night of sleep, fine. If I have two bad nights of sleep, I'm like, you know, my ears go up a little bit.
What's a bad night of sleep to you?
I just can't, it's hard for me to fall asleep and stay asleep. And then if I have a third night in a row of bad sleep, because in my mind, I think that if I have a really bad night of sleep one night, that inevitably I will have a great night of sleep the following night because I will be so tired from the night before.
That's the mindset.
That's the mindset. So you go, well, I had a bad night of sleep, which means I'm going to be so fucking tired tonight that I'm not even going to be worried about nothing because my body is just going to allow me to rest because I'm so tired. But when that happens multiple days in a row, and by multiple, I mean more than two, then what happens is we enter into the sleep confidence or lack of confidence phase where I now convince myself that this is my new reality, and then all bets are off and I'm fucked. So that's kind of what happened, where I'm like, fuck, I have lost my sleep confidence. I'm a bad sleeper now. I can't go to sleep. I'm going to have trouble staying asleep. So what happens is every time bedtime rolls around, I get in my bed and I'm like, I wonder if it's going to be one of those bad
Holy
nights.
Holy shit, man.
And then I start thinking about how I can't fall asleep, which makes me stay up, and I can't fall asleep, and I can't fall asleep, and I can't fall asleep. So it's, I'm just trying to learn ways of getting myself out of my own head.
Is it Ambien?
No, it's Xanax. Allegedly.
Oh, okay.
Or I mean, maybe other benzodiazepines. Well, and it's not necessarily a sleep aid, but some people use it that way. Because here's the thing, it's like...
Well, that chills you the fuck out, man. Like, that'll, if you're thinking about sleeping or not, that'll take away your thoughts about sleeping or not.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you know why I walk around on it. I don't have to worry all day.
I couldn't function on it. But here's the thing, when I'm really tired and the only thing that's keeping me from going to sleep is anxiety in my running mind, all you need to do is lower the anxiety level, allow yourself to relax, and then your body just kicks in. That's the wall. It's not that I'm not tired. I am. I just need that anxiety, or the kind of the body is resting, but the mind starts to race. Sometimes that happens. So it just allows me to just lower the bar, and then I can just step right over into sleep land.
I used to beat myself up a lot because I've been doing mornings since I was 19. So, you know, I would wake up at your 2 or 3 in the morning, and I would go through the, you know, the whole fucking day. And, you know, then when I started doing, and I would worry about it, like I would go, holy shit, if I don't get to bed by 8 or 9, I'm going to be tired for the next day. Yeah. What's going to happen? Am I going to be able to, you know, be on the air and do well? So anyway, so then I got out, once I started working with Drew, I didn't have to worry about, you know, waking up early in the morning anymore. And
Was that nice? Did you prefer that?
You know, it's funny because you think like 2 to 6 in the afternoon, which is when we were on the air, I would probably get there at like noon or so. But sure. you're like, hey, that's the perfect schedule. And then you go, when the times change and you're getting out of work at 6 and it's fucking pitch black and you're just like, where the fuck did the day go? Yeah. That stuff's a little depressing. I think the best time to work is probably middays, 10 to 3. But yeah, I mean, anytime you don't have to wake up at, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning, it's definitely a win. So, but my thing is now, Anna, after I went to therapy, because I would sit there and fucking worry about it all night that it was the end of the world if I didn't sleep. And then of course that doesn't throw you to sleep. Now I'm just like, hey, I was up last night till midnight. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be fucking I got 3 shows to do tomorrow. I was like, you know what? Whatever. When I'm done, I'll take a nap if I have time. If not, you know, then I'll sleep tonight.
I'll survive, yeah.
But it's one of those things where I don't beat myself up over it anymore because I just don't feel like there's anything that I can do about it. And I actually don't really take Xanax at night. Like, I'll take it during the day and then, you know, it can kind of get me through the night. But I know what you're talking about. I think that works perfect for sleep.
Yeah.
I think you just have to, I know for you, you're probably in the spot that I was at, you know, years ago when I was doing mornings. And I just thought, you know, you got shit to do throughout the day. You want to make sure that you're fresh and you're crisp. Yeah. If you're tired, you probably feel like you're going to suck on the radio and it's going to be the end of your life. And there's all those what ifs. So, you know, a little benzo will knock that out for you.
Yeah. I don't really feel It's not like I'm commiserating about it all day, being like, oh God, I got to get to bed. Most of the time I'm okay, but the last three nights have been a little rough. But I know that it's not my new normal. It's just things are a little bit off right now, and we'll get back to regular scheduled programming, no problem. But I have to convince myself of that. Otherwise, I tend to spiral.
That's a lot, man. I've never heard of anything like that before.
What? The losing sleep confidence thing?
Yeah.
And then you just now you think that you've acquired a new condition where you can't sleep. Because I was always a really good sleeper. I prided myself on pretty much being able to sleep through most things at any places. I mean, I remember my roommates in college, I would be just in the back of a car, not drunk or anything, just pass out.
Yeah.
I'd be on a bus, pass out, be here, pass out. And I wouldn't even be tired, but I could get myself in kind of like a drowsy state pretty easily.
If you were a 40-year-old man, then that you could start living that experience that you lived back when you were in your 20s, Anna, because you could just like...
I could do it now.
I fall asleep at my fucking computer. Like when I'm waiting for the stupid podcast to upload, it's taking forever because I have run like 56K out of my house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And I go, what am I doing? Like, and then you go, it's 1 o'clock and I'm falling asleep at my computer. I go, do I nap it out or do I just, try to stay up for the rest of the day?
Yeah, I usually try not to nap because that'll fuck you up. But yesterday I did. I did nap because I was like, dude, I could try to like struggle bus through the rest of the day, but it's going to be miserable. So why don't I just put myself down, relax a little bit.
Put myself down?
And here's the thing. Like even if I lie down for a bit and I don't fully fall asleep, I feel refreshed when I get up and start moving again.
Yeah.
So I decided to opt for that. And I'm glad that I did because... I sleep a shit ton during the weekends, and I know you're not supposed to do that. I know you're fucking not.
Who says you're not supposed to sleep?
The fucking people, dude. The people say
this. I thought
this.
The people say you're supposed to sleep, that you're not sleeping enough. Now the people are saying don't sleep?
Well, here's what the professionals have said, and I hear this everywhere, so it's not like I just heard it from one fucking person, but you want to create a lot of regularity when it comes to your circadian rhythm. So if you're going to get up at 5, you should do it every single day, is what they say. And I say to that is nay. Absolutely not. Because if I'm not sleeping enough during the week, the last thing I need to be doing is not sleeping enough on the weekends. So during the weekends, dude, I can fucking sleep. It's fucking crazy because I thought this was just like a teenage or old person thing. And I'm sandwiched right between. I would say I'm like young, middle-aged, but... I could easily sleep if I don't set an alarm and I'm just like kind of tired. I could easily sleep 12 to 14 hours
straight or
no drugs. Straight through. Maybe a pee break.
Okay.
Pee break or two.
Oh man.
But without like again, without drugs, if I'm calm when I go to bed and everything's A-okay, I can just slip into a coma and I swear to God, Seth, I can sleep 12 to 14 hours with absolutely no drugs. It's frightening.
I've never heard of anything like that before, but that's quite impressive. I can't go longer than 2 hours without getting up, so...
You mean to like to pee or otherwise?
Yeah, what else would I be doing? Yeah,
I don't know. You wake up, you're like, oh, Jesus, maybe you snore.
No.
I know people that snore.
When I wake up, I pee. The worst thing is, then I'll get on my phone or...
No, why do you do that?
Well, I mean,
Oh, that's so bad.
I'm checking basketball scores. I'm checking eBay.
In the middle of the night?
Yeah.
That's the worst thing that you could do.
Is that what they say?
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious once you start getting light in your eyes and shit.
It is true, yeah.
It keeps you awake. You want light in your eyes when you wake up, obviously, to wake your ass up. But if you're trying to sleep, you shouldn't be fucking... Because then you think about all the stimuli that you're putting into your brain. You're looking at scores. You're looking at money. You start thinking about money and how you don't have enough of it or that your team is losing or, whatever.
All of that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just kind of... It's kind of part of the new me where I just go... It'll happen when it happens. Probably between 10 and midnight last night, I didn't go to bed till midnight, but I might have fallen asleep like two or three times, but I wake up very quickly for some reason. Well, it's like every night I'll only fall asleep for about 10 minutes and I wake up and then I have to wait till 10, 11 or 12 until I can finally fall asleep again.
And it's only for 2 hours at a time.
I can't sleep for more than a couple hours at a time. That's why I'll be honest with you. I know that everybody said you got to get 8 hours of sleep, and there's some scientific and circadian rhythm and all that stuff. I don't believe in that. I don't think we're supposed to sleep as much as they say that we are. I understand that it's healthy and you need it, and I get all that stuff. But I don't think we're meant to sleep for long periods of time, or would it be this hard? It wouldn't be this hard to sleep if we were meant to sleep all the time.
Well, you got to think we got a lot of stresses in our life that we didn't in the environment that we evolved, but... And a lot of things that are just kind of like unnatural. You know, most people in the environment in which we evolved, we would kind of go to bed with the sun.
What do you say, like back in the Noah's Ark days that they were able to, you know, fall asleep no problem?
Well, there were thousands of years of evolution before, I would say, the advent of, I don't want to just say civilization, but let's say, I think what was really problematic for human health was probably the Industrial Revolution, which also helped a lot in other regards. But in terms of staying up past the sun, I think that really fucked people up. And then you have screens, which I feel like zing your brain in a weird way, that give you energy when you shouldn't have energy, or at least they don't allow you to fall asleep when you should be able to fall asleep. I think those sorts of things aren't great and kind of interfere with...
What do you do with your phone?
You put it down on the charger and set your alarm, and that's it. If I wake up in the middle of the night to pee, I get right back in bed and try to close my eyes. And
are you curious as to see if anybody has hit you up at all?
No. That shit can wait.
Yeah,
I never do that. Because the thing is I'll be up all fucking night. And then that'll give me anxiety because I won't sleep, obviously, and then the next day is going to be shit.
The best thing is just I get back to direct messages that I've had for like 3 weeks where I can finally get back to people, because that's what I start doing when I'm up. So,
well, what about during the rest of the day when you're supposed to be awake? You don't get back to people then?
There's a lot of the Bubba Army is great in the fact that there's always a lot of questions. There's always a lot going on. And so I try to take some time like in the night to whether I'm doing like a live video on Instagram or, you know, whatever I'm doing, selling cards to, you know, make sure that I'm getting back.
Don't you think you should have more boundaries or stronger boundaries where you're like, OK, when I go to bed and when I wake up, whatever, unless it's a fucking emergency, obviously, which... You know, or maybe not, but the phone should just be off. You shouldn't look at it, and you just give yourself time to kind of rest, decompress, and disconnect.
Yes.
Do you think there's any sort of power or can you get any sort of enrichment from disconnecting? Because I feel like you don't have that. Because for me, I'm like, when I'm asleep, like you can message me, you can call me. I'm not going to fucking answer. So
no, I'm connected 24/7. I mean, I have it set up to where, I mean, my phone's always on silent, but it, you know, I sleep with my phone. So if I get a text message, I'll hear it. There's something on eBay.
I thought you said it was on silent.
It is on silent, but it buzzes, like it vibrates. So when
you have the haptic, what is it? The haptic response or something?
I don't know. It just goes like,
yeah, vibrating.
Yeah. So that's all it does. So, I mean, and then I see who's, you know, text messaging me in the middle of the night, see if it's important at all. So.
Huh. Yeah. My dad did that. And when I was staying at his place, I think it was the year before last over Christmas break, I could hear it through the fucking wall.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you have your notification sounds on in the middle of the night? My dad's like, yeah, why wouldn't I? I'm like, so you can fucking sleep. He was like, yeah, I haven't been sleeping well. I'm like, I wonder why. So now he's turned it off and he sleeps much better. And I'm like, yeah, go figure. Motherfucker.
I'm too connected to my phone. I'm too addicted to it. You know, like I don't watch TV at all. So I'll just sit around and look at my phone at night. And yeah, sometimes I'll be like, my eyes are tired. But that's when I'll, you know, close my eyes for a few minutes. I'll be like, all right, shit. Something just popped in my head. Oklahoma City Thunder are playing. Let me check the score. And then I get back on it. So again, that's just something I've learned to live with. I've never slept 8 hours. I've never slept more than 3 or 4 hours straight. You know, that's been my whole life. So I don't know if it's anything I'm doing now or anything back then, or it's just my makeup. But
what about like when you're on vacation or something?
No.
Or, not that you camp. I think that's a horrible example because I imagine you don't do that. But do you ever just want to completely disconnect at all? And then when you come back refreshed, you know?
Yeah, but you know what?
So we're a slave to these devices. And listen, you're not alone in this. I am as well. I wish I wasn't. But there is something that is very, very addictive about this sort of shit that I feel like I'm not fully in control of. And when I feel that way, I want to throw my phone against the wall.
The only disconnect I've ever felt is when I'm not working in radio. When I'm doing a marketing job or I'm, you know, working at Kawa or whatever the fuck else I was doing.
Yeah.
I don't need to be on my phone, you know, communicating with people, getting back to people, checking podcast numbers, you know, all that other stuff. So when I'm in radio, as much as I would like to just go and, you know, put my phone away when I get home, there's too much to get to. Or, you know, not like it's work or anything like that, but there's just too many things that I could be doing online.
Mm-hmm.
again, not the most important things in the world, but just things that I feel like I need to do to make sure that I'm doing my job the right way.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't check those things at all, but kind of have like a designated amount of time where you're just not looking at anything.
Letting
those eyes rest a
little
bit. I love
that. I need somebody to come in and take my phone and, you know, come give it back when it's time for the alarm to go off.
Yeah, I feel like I have bad, I know this sounds weird, but like bad phone hygiene, I guess, if that would make sense. I know there's some people who are really into the health and wellness space that they don't even keep their phone near their bed. Like they have a old school alarm clock where they have
those
to get up.
Those don't work.
Yeah, I freak out with those for some reason, but where they have to like get up, turn it off. The phone is in a different room, so they're not tempted to look at it in the middle of the night or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather just sleep with my phone than try to, you know,
be better.
Than try to, I mean. I don't even know if that makes you a bad person or anything like that.
No. I think that's a wrong spectrum to look at, good and bad. I'm saying in terms of bad, not morally, but just like bad for your health is what I'm saying. Like not good for your health, not doing yourself any favors.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll listen to this when I'm falling asleep tonight and maybe it'll help me throw my phone across the room.
Do whatever you want. I'm just trying to help you.
No,
I don't
nothing.
Know.
The best thing I could have done, Anna, was to let myself go from that pressure that you have right now. That was the best thing I could do because I would be a fucking wreck if it was midnight last night and I couldn't fall asleep. So
yeah, again, it's getting better, but I'm just saying like the last several nights have been hard for me to fall asleep and I didn't stress about it, oddly enough, which is very unlike me. But I decided now that I have this certain tool in my toolkit, I was like, you know what? Tonight's the night. Give yourself a little bit of a, I think of it as like mental cheesecake. You know, where it's not something you want to have, maybe a mental beignet, if you will,
okay.
Where it's not something you want to have all the time, but every once in a while you treat yourself, and that's exactly what I did last night, and I think it's, A, the actual drug, but I think even more potent is the placebo effect, where you're taking something you think is going to help you. Like, you fully believe that this is going to make you drowsy or relaxed enough to fall asleep, and just the security of knowing that it will happen tonight helps me. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I'm
okay,
with you.
Great.
I'm medicine boy.
Yes, you are. I did want to ask you about this, because I've noticed something around here, and I'm sure you feel it as well. It's pretty palpable, at least in my opinion, is that you and Brian have a lot in common. This isn't going where you think it's going. I've set it up like I'm assuming you guys that you're gay together. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
But I see a beautiful budding friendship where, again, I don't think you're both liberal snowflakes, but that's kind of the brand around you and Brian. You're both funny guys. You're both into sports, but don't play them. You both have daughters that are pretty much the same age. You and Brian yourselves are 2 weeks apart, right? He's 42,
yeah.
You're 42.
Yep.
February 1st, February 14th. I just feel like there's a lot of, I don't know, similarities. And I feel like you don't really have a lot of male friends. Why not befriend Brian, not just as a work friend, but as a friend.
What do you,
I'd like to see, maybe you do like a man date with your daughters or something, and maybe your wives can become friends, and it can just be
shit, Anna, you got us all going out now?
No. Yeah. You know, he can come over to the house, bring the wife, bring the kid. Everybody has a buddy. You're talking to Brian. You know, Phoebe's talking to his wife. The kids are playing together. I don't know. I just
can I tell you? And
it could be fun.
I appreciate you setting up play dates for the adults, but
I see it so clearly.
It's there, Anna. But I will tell you this, and this is not one of those things where you don't have kids, so you don't understand. But like when you have a kid, it's just like, I don't know. I'm probably not the same as everybody else, but Brian's busy as shit being a lawyer. And so then when Brian has time, you know, he's hanging out with his family or he's taking care of his, mother and father, all that stuff. You're like, to me, Brian is the guy that doesn't have any time to, you know, sit around.
Yeah.
And if he did, do I think that he would want to hang out with me? Would we go to a Lightning game? Would we go to a spring training game together? Yeah, it's very possible. But I also see him once a week. You know, we talk for, you know, a few hours, then we go and we do the card break and we talk, and him and I text. So I just think the you can be friends with somebody, but I think the hanging out aspect isn't necessarily there when you get older. Or at least
it's probably less so as you get older and you have a life and stuff. But Brian, like, no bones about it. Brian goes out. Like, he does fun stuff. He likes to have a good time. Yeah, he's got a lot on his plate, but who doesn't? And he does stuff with his daughter. Like, the daughter has friends. He has to go to her, you know, recitals or dances or whatever.
What so do you know? Are you following him on Facebook? Where's he putting out all this information?
No, Brian and I talk during hot mics sometimes. Okay. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, she did soccer. And then she does this, like, kid fitness thing. And
Did he ask you to set us up?
No. It's more just like the matchmaker in me is like, damn, you know, you're not the easiest person to get along with, and neither is Brian. And it seems like there's just a lot of compatibility there and a lot of things you guys just have in common on the surface. And I just thought, damn, it'd be really cool if your families could be friends. Because then you were talking about how you don't have very many male friends. You said the close ones you had have passed, and you have a lot of, or a few close girlfriends. But I think it's important to have same-sex relationships with other...
What podcast did you hear this
on? No, this is no from no podcast. It's just straight from the dome. Like, I just think... Because here's the thing. This is how I feel about things.
When are you and Kevin Hazlett going to hang out?
Oh, Kevin and Hazlett and I talked on the phone quite a bit yesterday.
Oh, did
just
you?
Catching
okay.
up on life. We're actually, like, we enjoy speaking with each other. When we can't do a podcast together, we just podcast on a telephone.
And
we don't just, like, gossip about what's going on. We talk about, like, life. Like, we go deep.
We go fucking deep. I could tell when he walked in here yesterday.
Just light up.
Yeah, you love it, and it's strictly for the conversations at a much higher level. I totally understand that. So I know he's the kind of guy that can give that to you. He's a worldly man who's on his way to Vietnam right now as we speak. So, yeah. I know that you get a lot of enjoyment out of that. So sitting on the phone talking to him, I could see why that would be a positive thing.
Right. And so I feel like I see the same sort of light in your eyes when Brian's here. You applauded when Bubba introduced him on the show. No one else did. No one else gave a fuck.
I feel like when you announce somebody, you got to applaud. It's just my thing.
He introduced the rest of us, and I didn't hear a clap.
Oh, shit. Well, maybe it's because I see you all the time.
You love Brian, and that's okay, and he loves you too, and I see, you know, I'm waiting outside ready to start this show, and I'm like, I thought they were done. Why are they still in there? And I peep my head in and just, you guys just fucking, you know.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we should.
No. It's not a bad thing. I'm just like, I see it. It's clear as day that you guys should be friends outside
of
the office.
How about this? Let me draw this. Let me see if I can draw.
Can you do a play date with Brian and the child?
We possibly could, but let me see if I can draw a parallel here that makes sense. I'm doing this on the fly.
Sure.
Let's say Brian and I are porn stars.
Yeah.
And we fucked. We just fucked.
That's hot.
Today, okay?
Yeah.
Girl and a boy porn star. And we fucked, and man, we got great chemistry, and we just nailed the scene. And Brazzers is going to go fucking wild. Adam 22 is going to get Lena the Plug hooked up with it. Everybody's going crazy. And then we come out, and people were like, man, you guys fucked the hell out of each other. That's great chemistry. Why don't you guys date each other? And you're like, no, we're good. Like, it's good to work together. We can do good stuff together, but, you know, we don't need to take it out of here. Like, we just fucked. We don't need to go fuck again. We're cool. That's kind of how I feel with Brian. Like, we talked, we did our thing today, and, like, this is how I hang out with people, you know? This is my element. So,
yeah, but I feel like
the porn star thing, I really felt like I had something there.
But here's the difference.
I don't.
Here's the difference, is that if you and Brian just had good chemistry on the air when the mics were running, I'd be like, all right, they just have good chemistry, or they like each other, whatever. But it's, you linger. You guys like to talk afterwards. You don't want the moment to end. I know he doesn't want to leave you, and I know you don't want to leave him. That's the difference. If the two fucking porn stars, after they fucked, were like hanging out in the, I don't know.
They might take a shower
around
together.
The water cooler for another 2 hours just chatting it up, and then someone's like, why don't you guys date? And you're like, no, we don't have any chemistry. It's like, yeah, you do. And not just on camera, but off camera. And it's, everybody can see it and smell it. So I was just thinking, because it's just so funny, because every time you're like, oh, yeah, the daughter, like, Brian will be like, me too. Or, you know, Brian will say something, and then you'll be like, yeah, me too. Cards. I'm like, what the fuck? Why don't you just fuck already? Why don't you just hang out already?
Cards,
daughters, wives, in-laws. Snowflakes, liberals, pussies. Yeah. It's like, come on! Jesus. You guys even kind of, I don't want to say, like, of similar size, but possibly of similar strength. I don't know. I just see that there's so many things that align, and I just feel like maybe if your daughters could meet each other and be friends, then you really have a good male friend that you could kind of lean on. I do think there is one difference. I think that Brian might be a little bit more psychologically stable than you, and I think that that rubbing off on you would be a good thing.
Okay, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, I see where you're going with this now.
I think that that would help, and I think that you both are very funny and animated guys. You have a lot in common, so there wouldn't be any sort of like awkward. You just talk about fucking sports for 8 hours. It'd be plenty entertained.
Well, he's a little intimidating because of how smart he is.
I think you're quite bright.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. But Bubba told me, or somebody, like, he's like a borderline been tested.
It's like Mensa.
Yeah, he's like a genius or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's very smart. But here's the thing is, like, you don't have to discuss fucking immigration policy with that guy.
I know, I can't.
Or
tape up that hole. Stop letting him in.
Exactly. And the thing is like, you make it very apparent when you don't want to talk about something. So, and Brian is so multidimensional that he could go on and on and on about politics just as much as he could go on and on about fucking sports and cards and stuff.
I think I gotta be honest. I think it should really be okay that I don't give a fuck about politics.
Yeah.
And that if there's a conversation going on with you or Brian or Dan and, you know, Bubba and all that, like, I don't feel like I need to insert myself because I don't know anything about it. It doesn't interest me, and there's enough people in here to carry on a conversation without me having to throw myself in. You know,
right?
Like,
and that wasn't the point I was trying to make.
No, I know, but I want to say also, like, the driver today, like, that's not my thing at all.
Me neither. I didn't say a damn word.
Yeah, people were like, oh, you know, who looks more bored, Anna, Seth, or Babyface? And I'm like, what do I need to do? Like, I'm not going to force myself in here just to be heard.
Sure.
You know, Bubba knows this guy. Bubba knows all about it. Like, he can handle it. So I don't know where all that came from, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, there are things that I don't like talking about at times, but...
Understood, and that wasn't the point I was making.
The point I
was making is that you were saying Brian was, like, too smart and he intimidates you.
Yes.
But you both know an equal or equal-ish amount about things you're both interested in. So it doesn't matter if Brian is really smart because he can talk sports with you just as well as you could talk sports with him. That was what I was trying to say.
Yeah, no, I get
it. Like, don't be intimidated by him.
Yeah, okay, I respect that.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I have tickets to, you know, a Yankee spring training game today that I can't go to because what the fuck?
Did you give it to Brian?
I have them right now on me if anybody can get at me before 6:05. No, but that would be the kind of thing where, you know, I'd be like, hey, Brian, do you want to go 6:05 on a Thursday?
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Thursday night. Probably not. Probably just getting out of the office. Probably wants to go home and see his family.
That's not the move. I'm thinking.
But that's how I would hang out with somebody.
No. Can we just do this? Can you try to do this by the end of the fucking year? Okay, so we're giving you plenty of time to do this. Could you just maybe do a play date where they come over, your families meet each other, the kids hang out? Because I think you're going to like it. And I could see if this were to develop over, you know, a given amount of time, you might be like barbecue friends. You know what I mean?
I've got barbecue friends. They're black. There's no white barbecue friends. The barbecue friends are
gay friends! friends.
Barbecue. I've got
barbecue. You've never mentioned them once. They cut your hair, motherfucker. They're not your friends.
I got barbecue. Come down to do a podcast here. I got barbecue friends. They give me the big piece of chicken.
Okay. All right.
What?
Well,
come on. This is not even as close to racist as things that have been said today.
Oh, no. That's not what worries me at all. I would just like to see you at least try to have a close male confidant.
And you think Brian's the best?
I think
I tell
that's
you?
The man for it, you.
I think
it's obvious.
I think Bubba and I could hang out. You don't think so?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, you guys, again, you make great music together in the sense that you do great radio together, I think. You guys bounce off each other quite well, but there's really not a lot of compatibility there.
Do you know why I'm friends with girls? Because I don't need to have anything in common with them. Like, having something in common with somebody isn't what I'm looking for. I want to look for things in somebody that interests me, that I would want to know more about, that I would want to ask them questions about, that I would feel cool being around. Like, that's what I look for in a friend.
Okay, but I would see that more so with, like, a partner. Like, you want someone that compliments you. But as far as a friend goes, what do friends do together? They do stuff that interests them together. And I'm not saying you have to perfectly align or anything like that, but it
seems
like...
What do you do
with
your friends? What are you doing? Are you going to brunch? Like, what kind of activities are you doing with your lady friends?
We brunch. We also like to do, at least with my closest friends, my closest female friends, I'm very excited I will see this weekend. We have a lot of similar values. It goes beyond just interests, which a lot of us align on. But I would say my best friend, Erin, her and I have a lot in common in terms of things that we value. And also we'll do not just brunch. We're multidimensional. So, yeah, we get fucked up together and do that. But we also have health and wellness days. I know that sounds like so fucking lame. But we will do like hot yoga, or we've done the cold plunge thing together. We'll go for like nice walks on a nice day, and she has a child, so we'll bring the child and we'll just talk and walk or work out together and stuff like that. Do 5Ks, do 10Ks, that sort of deal. So, yeah.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to
I just see it in front of my face, just blatantly obvious, and I'm just thinking like, damn, maybe Seth could really benefit from this friendship, as would Brian. I think it's mutually beneficial. And I just think that, you know, again, it'd be cool. Like, think about like your daughter's friends, right? And it's like, you have to pick her up, this and that. But if like Brian is already your friend and the girls are friends, then like everybody gets a play date.
But not everybody's looking for a play date.
I don't know. Can you at least try? Just try to hang out with Brian off the clock once in the next 10 months. Can you do that?
Yeah, I'd be willing to do that.
You know how it goes.
Just for the sake of this podcast.
Yes,
I'd be
for
willing.
The sake of this podcast.
Brian would fucking, I mean, I'll probably wait till next Thursday, but I'll be like, and I'll tell Bubba ahead of time. But if I'm just like, hey, Brian, you want to hang out? I can give him a specific, like, do you want to go to USF? Or it has to be a whole family thing.
Yeah, I'd like to see at least the daughters hang out.
Don't we have to hang out to know that everybody's...
Before they meet the family? All right. Yeah, yeah. Just do you and Brian.
So like, hey, can we go to like a USF game? Because Rhett and Lummy have the hookup or something like that. And then we're like, hey, man, this was fun. Let's get the family.
Let's make this a thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do that.
We'll do putt-putt next week or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Just something. I think that I could see it, that you want to hang out. You don't know how to make the first step, and I'm just trying to...
Do I seem lonely?
No, you seem avoidant, and I know that's by choice, obviously, but I just think that you're so quirky, and Brian is too, and your weirdness complement each other, or the same type of weirdness, a lot of overlap.
Okay, all right.
And I can see that you feel very comfortable around him, and you root for Brian, and Brian roots for you, and that's rare because both of you are very unlikable. So I just, when I see this beautiful match made in heaven and nobody else is commenting on it, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, these guys need to be friends, like real friends, not just radio friends.
Where are you reading this unlikable stuff? The comments on the show have really changed lately as far as who people hate.
Oh, I don't read chat. This is just, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I'm projecting.
I'll tell you really honestly. I mean, I still have my, you know, people that aren't a fan of mine, but I've read less and less mean stuff. stuff about you since I started.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, there was stuff. Obviously.
When you say started, you mean for the second time?
Yeah, for the second time. Like, there was stuff there, you know, because it was like, you know, get rid of her, Seth's there, get rid of Seth, keep Anna. But I seem to be seeing consistently people that are a fan of you. And so, I've had people reach out that said this podcast changed the way people look at you because it gave them more of like a insight into your mind and how it works and everything like that. So, I know that, you know, Bubba throws out on the air that how much we're hating and all that stuff. And look, we're polarizing. That's what we have to do. But it's not as bad as it might have been at one time. Just, I'm not telling you to go read anything. I'm just letting you know from somebody that sees everything.
Sure.
It's looking better, you know, for the positivity angle.
And I was being, you know, slightly hyperbolic.
But
you're quirky. Brian's quirky. Yeah. I'm quirky, but your quirkiness seemed to really align. And every time that you guys are in studio together, it's just like a fucking magnet, bro. And I'm just like, why doesn't anyone say something?
You know what happened, Donna, when I first started? Man, I'm trying to remember. Babyface was a regular. And I started my first couple of days. I think Dan was here. And Babyface was the first guy that would just zing Bubba, you know? And I sat next to him and I kind of was like, oh, it's okay to make fun of Bubba and the way that he does it. And he kind of gave me the confidence to start, you know, being myself on the air.
Yeah.
So maybe I feel a connection to it because he, without knowing it, he helped me very much early on get comfortable and, you know, be who I wanted to be on the air.
Right.
So I always kind of would, you know, I'd always look to him. He looks to me, you know, we say stuff just like, you know, you and Kevin do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll set up a date for us.
Okay,
I'll
wonderful. I'll set something up. It doesn't have to be anytime soon. I know you guys both have shit going on in your lives, but just at some point, it would just be nice if you would, you know, just try. And being the first person to make a move is always scary. I know. Making friends as an adult is really fucking an art that's hard to finesse.
Well,
I think
why I quit. I'm not searching for friends.
I know.
Are you on a constant quest for friends?
No. But I feel like I have a sufficient amount. And when I've asked you, you're like, I have this person and that person, and that's pretty much it. And I'm like, damn.
What if I'm quality over quantity?
That's fine. I just, again, I'm not saying just go out searching for friends for the sake of searching for friends. It's saying I see this unbelievable magical connection between these two people. Why don't they take it to the next level? Is what I'm saying.
Man, I feel like you are really trying to set up like some gay version of The Bachelor for us.
I just think it'd be cool. I think maybe you need a little bit more like male interaction, as I need female interaction. I don't realize how bad I am with interacting with women until I brunch it out and I go, this is a weird like muscle I'm exercising out right now, because I've always worked with all men for the last 7-8 years, even when I was at Cox, obviously, when I'm here. And then I also had a job at Hornblasters where I was the only female as well. So I'm around men all the fucking time, which is fine. I work well with men most of the time. I'm not trying to say like, oh, I'm one of the guys. I'm like, not, but
no.
I blend. It's not like who's this random, whatever. I can talk about, besides sports, obviously, whether it's politics or current events, whatever, I can kind of make it work. But when I have brunch with the ladies, it's so apparent that I don't really, it feels weird. I remember one day I did a show with Micah and JoJo.
Okay.
And I felt like a man in drag. Like, I had never done a show with another woman before, let alone two. And I think it was Migs and Swigs was out, and so JoJo was in. She brought Micah and myself in. And I was just like, this is a completely different experience being with two other women. The way I interacted, I couldn't like fucking just start ribbing them like I do the boys, or like being like, you look fat, ha, you know, I can't do that.
Well, I mean, the radio's different when you get paired up with, you know, people on the radio, especially, you know, if it's all girls and it's not something you're used to, it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable.
Sure.
But
it felt good is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
It felt good.
Okay.
It felt really good to kind of stretch my feminine wings, because they're dormant most of the time. And then I go to jujitsu and that's fucking 85% dudes as well. So I make it a point to make sure that I get enough of that estrogenal influence, which is why I've set up two brunches back to back this weekend.
There we go. The
All
one
ladies.
With Tara, right?
Yes. The one with Tara and Jennifer on Saturday, and then the one with my regular crowd on Sunday. So I'm definitely going to get all that that estrogen, estradiol, progesterone kind of influence, which I think will be good for me.
It's good. It's good to see.
I feel like I'm like a different person, but it's just really a different side of me. Does that make sense?
When you're out with your friends?
When I'm out with like women.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, fuck. I mean, fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, I like that side of me because
I've never seen that side of you.
Yeah, neither have I. Or most of the time I don't. And it feels good because unlike most of the people around here, and, you know, I'm not in here in America, but everyone's always trying to change and be something else. Like, I want to be a woman. I am a woman. I'm not a very girly woman. But I think it's important to kind of just lean into that sometimes because I forget that, like, you know, when I put on a dress, I'm like, oh, this feels different. This feels different. Oh, look at, I put on some fucking mascara and I don't look fucking homeless. But here's the thing. I love looking homeless. That's the problem. That's what people don't get, is they think that I don't, like, oh, she, you know, she doesn't want to look that way, but she can't help it. It's like, no, I'm actively trying. I love being comfortable more than I can even express to you. I love being comfortable. I hate being like anything too tight.
No, that makes total sense at all. But
pain on my face.
But after the years of Bubba talking about, you know, you looking, what did he call you today? Or was he had
homeless.
Something.
He said that he's like, most shows have a hot chick, I just have a chick.
Yeah.
That one got a pop, and I'm like, that was pretty funny.
No, there was something he said about like what you looked like. Like you looked like a shopping, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
I don't know, something. But what the fuck was I going to say about that? I said you look like. Yeah, has any of that like tried to propel you to want to put on makeup and shit every day? Or you just, I mean, it's just
honestly,
too much.
It's just, it almost makes me want to do it less.
Okay, I get that.
Not just to, maybe as an act of defiance to be like, you know, I'm not going to do it because you told me to do it sort of thing. Maybe a little bit of that. But mostly it's, dude, I wake up at 5:02 always. 5:02. I don't know why. I just, 5 o'clock just seems way too early. 5:02 is when I wake up. By 5:18, 5:19, latest 20, I'm out the door. So, I can get ready in 16 minutes. Everything. Dressed, brush my teeth, hair back, shoes on, coffee made, grab a water, out the fucking door.
Impressive.
Yeah, so if I tried to factor in looking nice and putting on makeup, that would take a significantly more amount of time that I'm just really not willing to invest, especially because it's just such an early start time. I just can't.
I mean, I know the women that are on the news, like on Fox 13.
Waking up at 2:30.
Oh, I mean, they're waking up at 2. They're waking up at like 2, and then they have to do their own hair and makeup, which I guess takes like 2 hours. So they go in there and they work on that. So yeah, that's just part of that.
I don't want to go to bed at 4 p.m.
No, that's not for you. It's good. Don't worry about, you know.
I look at people like Jen Epstein, and I see her at 6 a.m. just full beat, makeup on, all that sort of hair done. I'm looking just at 10 out of 10. And I just get exhausted for her. I'm like, I know how much, not saying she's, you know, she has to put in so much work, but you have to have that look. It takes a while to do your hair so it looks that good and your makeup so it looks that on point. And I just look at that and I'm like, oh my God, I can't even fucking imagine like sitting in a chair. She does it herself, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
And getting that done, it probably takes her like at least 60 minutes to do all that, maybe an hour and a half. It's just, fuck, I could spend that time sleeping, man.
No, it's, they love their job though, you know?
And God bless them.
I don't know if a lot of news stations have like hair and makeup teams. I can't imagine anybody would. They'll just be like, do your own fucking hair and makeup.
Yeah, not probably on the local level.
But they, I mean, they go to sleep at like, you know, 6 or 7. It's not, it's definitely not a staying up, you know, till 8 or 9 thing when you have that lifestyle. So
right. And I know a lot of women enjoy getting ready like that. There's a lot of get ready with me videos I've noticed on Instagram and YouTube. It's a thing that people like to watch and a thing people like to do. I just don't like that shit.
Is that just a way for women to show off their sponsored clothing, you know, sponsors or something like that by changing their outfits? Like, it can't just be for content. It's got to be sponsored shit,
there's
right?
Something about, I don't know, watching that sort of content, which is really calming. Like, I know this sounds crazy and I'm not proud of it and I'm trying to spend less time on social media, but there's some people that I follow and they'll be like, clean my house with me sort of a thing. And they'll put maybe a minute or two video of them. Obviously it's edited and it's just them taking a messy house and making it clean. And I love watching that. And maybe it's because I'm OCD and I like clean shit and the feeling of a completely clean house. But I like watching people like clean, put things away. It's all organized and nice. And
so you like to watch that? You like to watch people get ready?
It's just, it's calming and relaxing to watch sometimes. Okay. Not a full, you know, 18, 20, 30 minute video, but if it's like a minute long or 2 minutes long, it's like weirdly satisfying in a way that's hard to put into words. It tickles a weird part of my brain. Kind of like the eating thing, but that almost makes more sense to me because I clearly have a lot of psychological issues with food, and that is somehow a way for me to enjoy it without indulging, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does.
Because I'm psychotic.
Yeah. No, I'm trying I'm trying to figure out if there's videos that make my brain feel calm.
Yeah. Do you ever watch like blackhead removal videos?
No.
Because those are really nice, and they put a very calming kind of spa-like music in the background.
No.
Pop this shit, and you just see like all these little squirts and stuff, and it's just so nice to see the clean skin when they're done.
No, I like to see a lot of like positive sports moments and all that. There was this video I watched the other day about Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce's brother, and Jason just retired.
Yeah, I saw him crying.
And the guy, so the Eagles played their last game here in Tampa before they lost, and that was the last game of Jason Kelce's career. But I guess the guy who had been his trainer and had taped up his ankles for his whole career missed the Bucks game because he was going through chemo and radiation for cancer.
Yeah.
So
did he die?
No. Oh. Before Jason Kelce's retirement speech, he let the guy tape him up one last time because the guy said that I can't let you retire if I'm not the last one to tape you up. So, I mean, like, I saw a video like that, and that, like, that shit makes me cry. Like, I like seeing positive sports videos. Huh. I like seeing, you know, people opening up cards, and I like a babe every now and again.
A babe?
Well, there's babes, you know, there's babes everywhere. There's babes that just pop up, you know, and they're
oh, well, what do the babes do?
They're just walking around in barely any clothes, showing off their outfits or whatever, you know, with some stupid caption of like, wish you were here with me on Monday, you know, where that kind of thing.
You know,
on the reels, on the Instagram.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if like you're referencing porn or if
No. Just the algorithms just got to hot chicks all over the place, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, what's like your... And I know you're married and all that sort of stuff, but if we're just talking about people you like to kind of window shop, like who's your, I hate to say celebrity crush, but so I can get like at least an archetype of person.
I was just telling Phoebe last night that... Man, Selena Gomez has really come into her own. I just said, when did her boobs get so big? And she just goes, when she ate a lot and then she, you know, lost a lot of weight. So Selena Gomez and Rihanna right now, I would probably say are my top
interesting.
Two.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Rihanna is, I saw her, if you know that she got paid, what, $6 million to go play the wedding of the most richest people in India or something like that.
I don't think I knew that.
Oh, no. I figured you would know something like that. They paid her $6 million to play a wedding and all that. And
in India?
Yeah.
Interesting.
She just exudes sex to me. So that's just like when I see
her. Even while she's pregnant.
Honestly, even when she was pregnant doing the Super Bowl. And
she's fucking hot.
She was slapping her vagina.
You could say her pussy.
But I don't know why they slap it. But she was like slapping her mound.
Oh, I know. It was my favorite halftime performance of all time. I know that's controversial to say, but the dancing was just absolutely incredible. And I danced for years, so I can really appreciate it.
You know what I'm talking about, though,
yeah,
like slapping
yeah,
the mound.
I know. I've watched that halftime performance more than I'd like to admit. It was phenomenal.
Really?
Phenomenal.
That's, I mean, I, maybe
phenomenal.
I should, so you can understand the allure of Rihanna.
And with the like the faces, with the tongue out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, like, I don't want to, I mean this in the nicest way, but she's nasty.
Yeah, she's a dirty McNasty.
And she's a billionaire, which is just fucking even better.
Even
you know?
Hotter.
And she's a mom, and, you know, God, I guess I really need to get with Rihanna. I had no idea that
I didn't either. And it's funny you say Selena Gomez now, because Selena Gomez has been getting a lot of heat over the last few years for gaining a bunch of weight, but she was, like, rail thin before.
Yes.
And she's gotten a lot of hate and a lot of grief because she kind of has more of a womanly body now, and also she's probably maybe not starving herself the way that she once did, so people are giving her a lot of hate, but she's got the hips, she's got the boobs, she's got the butt.
She is, I mean, if you talked about, like, the, what's the word I'm looking for? not the picturesque, but if you were trying to describe like a woman with curves, like that would be, it would be Selena Gomez. And I interviewed her in Miami back in 2013. And when I was working at the Top 40 station, like that's when she was really popular. She was fucking dating Justin Bieber, going through all that shit. But she just came out. She's been out a lot more. I don't know. She's the most followed person on Instagram. And
more than the Kardashians?
I think so. Yeah. I think she has the most followers. Shit. And I saw a picture of her and Taylor Swift. And I mean, just the, I've morphed into liking boobs a lot, you know? So like, I just see them and I see them now and I turn to like, just, you know, I go, well, holy shit. Good for her.
Did you used to be a butt guy?
Yes.
Okay. So you feel like you've made the transition from butt to boob.
Don't care.
Usually it goes in the other direction.
Really?
Yes. Yes. When you talk to, not that I do all the time, not that I'm surveying young boys, I'm not, but it seems like they have an obsession with boobs that doesn't fade as they get older, but then they start to really appreciate the butt as they kind of enter their 20s and 30s.
I was the butt. Like, I just wanted the butt so bad. I mean, look, even when I see Nicki Minaj, you know, something like that.
No.
Well, I mean, look, auntie can work with it. Like, even when I see something like, I like that, you know, like that'll, you know, or, Ice Spice, like that'll turn my head.
Really? Okay.
But for some reason, years ago, I don't know, like 8-9 years ago, I really started segueing into boobs, and I never gave a damn about cleavage before or women jumping up and down on their boobs. Like, none of it even phased me. And now it could fucking take up my whole day.
Wow.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with all that.
Can I ask you a question, and can you try to answer it honestly without feeling like you're going to offend anybody?
Yes.
Do you mind fake boobs, or do you prefer natural? Which I know is, you know, blasphemous to say on this show because obviously, you know, Dan is a plastic surgeon and he does breast augmentations. That's his main thing. Bubba is very pro breast augmentation. There's a lot of women that come that are Bubba Army that come from Bubba 199 that are very breast aug friendly. How do you feel about it? I know you're not like against it, but I'm just, do you prefer natural or what's your deal?
I haven't had a whole lot of experience with, you know, fake boobs. There was, you know, one of the girls that I've been with out of the four in my life had, you know, fake boobs. I was like 23. Like, I didn't really have a whole lot to, they were there. I was just happy to have a naked woman in front of me. I wasn't like getting that involved with it, but,
Just the way that they look, just you don't have to touch it.
I love the natural ones. Like, okay. Have you seen like Kanye West's wife's like side boobs that she walks around naked and stuff?
I've seen her pussy and her clit because she always puts it on display for everyone.
Does she?
The Bianca.
Yeah, sensory thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she's got natural boobs, and like because she walks around naked, you can see they've got like that kind of like.
That hang?
Yeah.
Good hang. Yeah. I know what you mean.
No, yeah. She's like 30. Yeah. It's like, it's a really good hang. So look, then there's women with fake boobs, and you can tell they're giant and they're fake and, you know, far apart and all that shit. But like, if it gives them more confidence, I'm happy.
No, I'm asking just your preference.
If I'm sitting around and I'm looking to whack it, I'm whacking it to I'm whacking it to real boobs.
Real boobs.
Real
okay.
boobs, yeah. That's what I was looking at last night.
Okay.
Real ones.
Real ones.
Yes.
Okay, got you. Yeah, I'm always curious to hear what men think.
Is that okay?
Okay or not okay. I'm just asking. Sorry, not to reference your old show, but
I would take a fake butt. Like, I think if I would take a fake butt over fake boobs.
Yeah, I was just curious in terms of preference because I try to get a lay of the land if it's something that all males really like, because sometimes working here can be warped to think that all men prefer this about a woman. And I know guys are paying attention to boobs and butts. Like, that seems to be the main things that they seem to be obsessed with. Obviously, you know, they don't want an ugly face. Like, that would be bad. But that seems to be pretty obvious because women don't like an ugly face either. But if we're talking about parts of the body, sans the face, I think men usually are talking about boobs, butts, maybe legs. That was really my saving grace when I was young. There was a time, and I'll never forget this, and it was probably one of the most complimentary moments that I ever had, because I never really got complimented that much with men. It was often fleeting, but because I didn't have a huge ass and I had no tits,
they had to give you something to work with.
Not just that, but it was not like striking where it was like, wow, like, look at that. And also I was pretty when I was young. I'm not ugly now. Well, it depends who you ask. But in my hottest years, I would say that I wasn't striking. I wouldn't walk into a room and everyone like drops their jaw or anything like that. But I remember there was this one moment where I was going to see a friend in San Diego, and it was a guy, but I was friends with a lot of his friends, whatever. So we were meeting at his house, and I was kind of dressed up, and I walk in, and he had a friend on the couch. Again, I only met this person one night. I don't even remember his fucking name. And I walked in, and he looked up at me, and then he looked back down at his phone, like, didn't even, but then he did a double take.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was like, he was looking, he heard someone walking in, and he's like, hey, what's up? And he looked down, and then he was like, hold on. And then he looked at me again, and it wasn't creepy, and it wasn't like, he was trying to really riz me, if that's,
familiar
with that word?
I'm on riz, yeah.
And he just goes, you got some stems on you. And then just like looked back down at his phone. Like it was so just nonchalant. He wasn't, felt like a genuine compliment. Like he's like, you objectively have nice legs.
You can't do that these days.
I was like, whoa, I don't remember what this guy looks like, but I just remember the feeling of being like, this is an objective truth. I have amazing legs.
Can I tell you this is why guys will go, this is why women get creeped out, because you liked that. You liked that this guy said you had nice stems. But
he said it just like that. He wasn't like, damn, baby. None of that shit. It was just like, you got some stems on you. Like, he just said it like it was a fact!
So, I mean, can we go...
I like that!
Can I just go up to a woman and go like, yeah, it's fucking nice knocks, baby. Keep on keeping on. Like, I don't know what...
I think it helps if it's not a... like, a super sexualized part of the body. Like...
nice eyes.
Yeah, I know, but that's so, like, hackneyed and trite. But I'm trying to think of something that...
there's nothing. It's,
you're right. Like a back or I don't know. You can't really. You know, delts, bitch.
It'd have to be a tattoo that you had on you, I think, to be like, oh, I really love the tattoo on the middle of your back or something. Like, I don't.
No, that's even creepy. Well, I'm just trying to think of like something else that would work.
God, your wrists are just unbelievable, baby. Have a great day.
Yeah, I guess it just doesn't. Maybe it's just legs, because arms are a weird thing to compliment too,
nice
unless
arms,
they're really
yeah.
defined. Because that's something you would compliment a man on. Like, hey, you got nice arms and biceps. Like, damn, well, save some for the rest of
well,
us
what
bullshit.
About what about when women are heaving their boobs out with cleavage? Like, are they doing it for their man? Are they doing it for them? Are they doing it because they want somebody to say nice rack?
They're never. Here's the thing.
It's never for us.
It's no. Here's the thing. It's always for them, in the sense that they're like, I do this because it makes me feel good. Yeah, it makes you feel good when other guys are fucking staring at your huge tits, or they say something about it.
So women do like that.
But here's the thing, when they don't like it, this is why women are fucking retarded. Can I say that?
Sure, yeah.
This is why, because they want certain men to notice them.
The hot ones.
Correct. But they don't realize that there's going to be a lot of collateral damage.
Hello, like me.
Right. So what's so annoying, and what a lot of women don't understand, or they do and they don't care, which might arguably be worse, is that the approach of a hot guy and a creepy guy can be the exact same approach, but because the hot guy is hot, you find it flattering, but because the ugly guy is ugly, you're like, get away from me, you're creepy.
Thank you.
Even if it's the same approach.
We've been saying this for years, Otto. Where have you been?
I hear you. I've been saying it. You've been gone for 3 years, buddy. I've been singing it from the foothills, man. But what I'm saying is that when women do that, they're obviously trying to do it for attention, because guess what they're not doing? When they're not doing it when they're home alone and no one's there and there's no screen or no camera to film them, guess what they're not wearing? High heels, all makeup on, tits out.
Right.
Unless they just walk around in the buff, and that's fine.
It was like the $199 last time, and I think it was Merch Crick and it was Maria Guatemala.
Not a fan,
which is Big Red's wife.
Yes.
They were, everybody had them out. And Maria had the side under, and everybody's just spilling out of their dresses and stuff. And I'm like,
and imagine me sitting right next to them and how disappointed everyone is.
Well, I know it's for the show and the aesthetics and the party and all that, but I'm also like, you know, if you take a peek, is it going to be a huge fucking problem or not?
No, I think it's an invited. Especially the peeks are fine. It's usually the comments that people say, stop objectifying me. But if it's the hot millionaire that's objectifying you, all of a sudden you're totally fine with it.
Yeah.
So it's not the act. It's the perpetrator, if you will.
Yep.
That's who matters. And so women get really mad. And they'll only say that to people that they find unattractive, because it's not just a blanket statement. It's who's approaching them, not how they're approaching them.
You think Jelly Roll's attractive?
No. Can I say that? I'm not going to. No.
What do you want to call him? The R word again?
No, no.
Wait, it's not a trap. I find the guy, he's got such a great personality.
It's repulsive.
I didn't know if it's kind of, you know.
Personality can only take you so far.
Really? Okay. All right. I just want to throw that up there.
It can help. It can help.
He seems like a hell of a guy.
It can help. But also, I mean.
Wouldn't you feel safe with a guy like that? Nice big Jelly Roll man.
I don't know. Safe from what, precisely? What is he going to save me from?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why, bro. He just seems like a cool guy.
I feel like he's going to be gassed after, you know, 7 seconds of cardio. I can't.
No.
Like, how can he fucking protect me?
No, he's great. He works out after he gets the face tattoos all the time.
No.
Yeah,
no, I don't.
Okay,
I don't.
All right.
I need someone that takes care of their body,
I
at least minimally.
I gotcha.
Just feel like he can't do that.
He might be busy with the music, but he might, you know. He,
I mean, that's no excuse. Well, there's plenty of celebrities that have time to, you know.
But have you seen
not I mean, eat 10 cinnamon
But do you
rolls?
Remember when like Timbaland was fat? Do you remember when like Dr. Dre was fat? Like those guys.
No,
those,
not like that. They weren't that
no,
fat.
No, but I'm just saying like they're like yoked up, they're jacked, they're older, like everybody looks great, so I'm just saying I don't know if they, you know, could happen to Jelly Roll.
I mean, it could, but I don't make the one-day wager, which is something that a lot of people make. Like, one day this person's going to be successful, or one day this person's going to be fit. It's like, no, fuck that. What you are today is probably how you're going to be in 20 years. Not guaranteed.
Oh, shit.
Not guaranteed, but more likely than not, you have to just... Well, you have to ask yourself whether, especially if it's like a romantic partner, you go, this is who they are right now. Could I live with this for the rest of my life? Whatever the case, you know, whatever the situation is, they're overweight, they're underweight, whatever. And if the answer is yes, because it's not that important to you, then great. But if you're like, I'm with them because I'm hoping that they're going to transform into a beautiful butterfly at some point in time, well, that's a wager I wouldn't be willing to make.
You know what? That's very well said. I've never really heard it put it like that before.
I've kind of plagiarized that idea, but the elaboration was my own.
I like it.
I heard one day wager from someone else. I got to give credit to Matthew Hussey, the relationship guru, but he talked about the one day wager.
It makes sense. I'm hoping I'm not the same person I am 20 years from now, but you know, I've got to strap down and make some changes, and it's going to start today.
You'll change slightly. I think people change. They evolve. I guess that's pretty much the same thing as changing. But I think like core habits.
Yes.
Well, here's the way to determine if someone is probably going to change in the future is if they have a growth mindset. Are you familiar with this?
No.
So growth mindset is really, you're kind of open to changing. You're open to new ideas. You're open to trying new things. You're open to being wrong. You're open to changing your mind with more information. If that's something like a tenet of your personality, then there's an opportunity for real growth, change, etc. But if you're like, I am who I am, I'm not going to change, don't try to fucking change me, this is the way I do things, fuck off, then they probably won't change.
No, I don't have that at all.
Have a growth mindset?
I do. I think I used to be like that, where I was like, this is how I am, like, just deal with it and everything.
Yeah,
but now I feel like there is maybe a small, tiny evolution. But I've seen tweaks along the way,
yeah.
You know, between 20 and 40 and 30 and 40 or whatever, and
sure.
20 and 30. So I feel like it's going to continue to tweak. I feel like I'm just becoming an overall more decent person.
Good.
I'm trying.
Yeah. I try to have a growth mindset in the sense that this sounds like so obnoxiously deep and I'm not trying to be, but like, I'm just on a quest for like truth and trying to be better. So I try, and again, I have to remind myself, especially if we're having a debate on the air or something like that, and we get kind of fixated on like winning the debate or being right, but it's like, I want to just know the truth. So if someone presents some information to me that I was unaware of before, I'm more than happy to change my mind about anything. And I feel like I've done that in the past. I've changed my mind. I know you're not into politics that much, but I've changed my mind on some things that, you know, when I was younger or before I had the information I have now, I've changed my mind. I go, okay, well, actually, I don't feel that way anymore.
As smart people do. You know?
Yeah. I think I've changed my mind. Probably the biggest thing I've changed my mind on are like abortion and capital punishment. You know, and it's not really popular, and I felt like when everyone was talking about abortion, they're like, you're the only woman. You don't believe in women's rights. I'm like, I don't think that's the equivalent, but okay. And then capital punishment. I'm not for the death penalty. And everyone's like, why do you have so much sympathy for these horrible criminals? I'm like, I don't think I do.
Well, they can't put – there's no – I mean, is there really a way to put these guys down humanely? I mean, they did the first – what was the one they did? I feel like it was in Texas a couple months ago. It was like a new way that they were doing it. It was the first lethal injection, maybe?
No. It was nitrous oxide. Something like that.
Something, but he, like, they said that he was not dead for like 30 minutes. It took, and then the guy that was in there, I don't know, like the priest or whatever, said it was the worst thing he's ever fucking seen.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's not it. It has actually nothing to do with it being humane.
Okay.
A lot of these people I feel like should fucking suffer, especially for the crimes they've committed.
Right.
It's more so I don't like, or it's not more so. The reason is because I don't like giving the state that the power and the ability to take lives. I don't like that dynamic. So I tell people I'm anti-capital punishment, not that because I have so much sympathy for the criminal or I really want to preserve their lives or I really care about putting them down nicely. It's more so because I don't like giving the state that much power. And so people conflate that with me having sympathy for these horrendous criminals that have killed, you know, raped and killed 20 men, women, children, whatever the case may be, I don't have sympathy for them. It's the fact that I don't like giving the state that much power.
Okay.
But people like can't understand that. But anyways, that's something that I've evolved and changed over the years.
Because, I understand that now. Yeah. Makes sense. So, yeah, I used to not have a problem with it at all, and now I'm just kind of on the fence, but, you know, maybe one day it'll be really important to me. But right now, I must go, Anna.
Oh, yes.
I have a doctor's appointment.
Oh, my word. I'm so sorry.
And
you got
I have
carried
to
away.
Pee-pee.
Same. Small bladders over here. All right. You've been listening to Live Jew. Seth, thank you very much. I enjoyed it, as always.
Thank you. I'm going to make a friend, Anna.
You better. Playdate coming soon with Brian and Seth. Goodbye.